This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So inshallah, I will share with you some important details of the Hajj. But there are already my book, Al-Fiqh al-Islami, volume number 2, which actually is about the Hajj and all the details about the Hajj. If you people can carry that will be better for you. Whenever you have a problem, difficulty, question, you can, consult the book, and that will be helpful, because I can't, cover in all the details so quickly. So I'll recommend that if people can get that book, Al-Fiqh al-Islami, the volume number 2. Okay, so coming to Hajj. Thing is, though Hajj actually is completion of your religion, but it does not mean you stop there. Actually, when you do Hajj, it encourages you, pushes you to become even higher, do more effort. When you come back, you don't want to sit. So that what Ibrahim alayhi salam said, where is, Ibrahim alayhi salam never accepted any station. If you study tasawwuf, people of Sufism, they say maqamat. After this exercise, you get this maqam, this station. Ibrahim alayhi salam never had a station. Prophets, messengers don't have station. They keep moving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limit. So those who want to be nearer to Allah, they don't want to stay anywhere. Keep working hard, tired. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so tired, night, 2/3 of night, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but never stops. All the time, keep working hard. Believers never should accept station. So this is like Iqbal says very nicely in one of the poetic verses, actually it's very true to Ibrahim al-Islam. Pare hai charkh neeli faam se manzil musalma ki sitare jiski garde raah ho wo karma tu hai. The destination that Muslims are traveling to, it is much, much beyond the sky or the blue sky. You have to keep moving. Sitare jiski garde raah ho wo karma tu hai. You have keep moving until you leave all the stars behind you. Never stop anywhere. Never. This is short life. In this life, you can get as much as possible. Never stop anywhere. Some people, they get some position, they become content. So you have to learn your life really, that I'm not going to stop. Like one of the poetic verse, Iqbal said, I read that, then we start. He said, Tu rah nawarde shauq hai, manzil nakar qabool, layla bhi hum nashi ho, to mahmil nakar qabool. You are a traveler in the path of the love. Never accept destination. Never accept to get off. Keep traveling. Even if you, there is Layla, beloved, she offering you a seat next to her, don't accept. Say, no, I'm a traveler. Even someone like Layla, who you love really, she asks you, come back, sit with her. Don't accept sitting. Keep moving. Ajue aab, bad ke ho daryae tundu tez, sahil tujhe ata ho, to sahil nakar qabool. You become like ocean. They ask you, there is actually, coast, there is actually dry land. You can come and stay there. No, I just keep moving. I keep traveling. Tu abhi reh guzar mein hai, qaid-e maqam se guzar, misr-o hijaz se guzar, paris-o sham se guzar. You are a traveler. Don't accept anything. They give you Egypt, don't accept Egypt. They ask you to stay in Syria, don't accept. Keep moving. That is the lesson actually you need to learn from the life of Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam never stopped. No station in his life. Never. From one place to all the life is just moving until he becomes so near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when you go for the Hajj, I have intention really that I have to do as best as much possible. Never make any of your reward to be lost. And keep mind that Hajj is to please your Lord and to do sabr. Training of the sabr. Never lose the sabr. Difficulties will be there. Problems will be there. Your companions will hurt you. System will hurt you. You arrive there, maybe Saudi system or something else, or maybe the flies. You keep, don't complain about anything. And remember really, the Hajj of the time of the Prophet was much more difficult. Sometimes you miss something. Sometimes you don't have time to eat anything. drink. But don't worry. All the time sacrifice. I remember once I did a Hajj and I had no time even for breakfast. No breakfast, no lunch, no dinner. Next day I slept without any food. Because I was just moving from one iskar to another iskar the whole day without food. Nothing happened. Still alive. Alhamdulillah. Actually, people say those who die because of eating, they are more in number than those who die because of hunger. People who are hungry, they don't die. People who eat, they die. So don't worry if you go. Actually, if you just drink Zamzam water for a long time, it's still fine. Zamzam water is enough for the people. So don't worry because it's just so much time. When you go in the queue for the food, so much time. Especially, you know, when people go from UK, from this country, I've seen them. They love, you know, all those, restaurants and Al Baik and this and that. So then it takes time. Then basically you have to spend 1 hour, 2 hours, or something like that to go there. Your time is precious. You're coming there for 2-3 weeks. Just sacrifice your desire. Don't eat anything. Take something from here. Buy the dates or something like that. You can survive on the dates. Dates and water. So make your time as precious as possible. And think that every single moment is going to make you nearer to your Lord. So what I mentioned earlier is that Hajj is to disconnect yourself from all connections. You leave your house, you leave your job, you leave your family. Even actually Allah asks you to leave your son clothes. For the women, you know, they love to cover face and all those things, to uncover the face. So they're symbol, because these are symbols. So for the women, because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their body differently. So for them, their ihram is in the face. Ihram of the ladies is in the face. They uncover the face. For the men, what the ihram is, they take off the sewn clothes and they put on two sheets which are unsewn. So one is like lower garment and one upper garment. It could be any color. Mostly people get white one. And that they do. If you have got any debt of someone, pay back. If you have hurt anybody, ask people to forgive you, you know, because you need to go as pure as possible. Allah will forgive your sins. But those sins which are connected to the people, Allah will not forgive them so easily. The people have to forgive. So if you have hurt anybody or say something rude, then you need to go to that person, ask him to forgive you. So then you travel and you put on your ihram. Where you put on your ihram? Allah, the Prophet has made miqat. Miqat means those, you know, land or those, you know, defined land from where you can't cross them without ihram. So they are known land. Like people coming from Medina, there is the place Dhul Hulaifa. People coming from Yemen, from India, Yalamlam. People coming from Syria, something else. For every land, the Prophet has made a place. When you come there, you have to take off your clothes, have bath, make a haram, and then you go to hill and haram land. So that is called miqat. Before on the miqat, you must get ready. The way of the sunnah is that you have bath, ghusl if possible. If you can't have ghusl, then at least have wudu. And then after that, put on your those unsewn clothes. And women just uncover their face. And then you do 2 rak'ah. And make intention, oh my Lord, I'm intending to do Hajj or to do Umrah, accept from me. People who are from outside, that 3 types of intention they can make. They can make intention for the Hajj, so they do only Hajj, or they can make intention for Umrah, or they can intention combine both of them. So I don't want to tell you all these details because it will be confusing. I will tell you what is the best for you. The best for you is, make intention for Umrah. When people go for in Hajj time to do Hajj, but before Hajj they do Umrah, then they do Hajj. That is called Hajj Tamattu. Tamattu. Ta mim ta ain. Tamattu means enjoyment. Because before, between Umrah and Hajj, they have got a period when they don't have ihram. So that is called Tamattu. So you make intention for what? Hajj Tamattu. Hajj al-tamattu means you make intention for Umrah. Is it clear? So from Miqat, you make intention for Umrah. If you want to cut your nails, cut before that, all those things, and then you come to Miqat. And now you're traveling by plane. You are not going to pass by any Miqat. When your plane is just, you know, in the side of a miqat, they'll announce now miqat is coming, you make your intention. So people do on the plane, but it's very difficult really. And think, if the Prophet had been alive, would he command people to do ihram from the plane? So difficult. You can't have bath there. You can't even do wudu properly. So many people. So that's why many ulama have given fatwa that people who are coming by the plane from anywhere and they land in Jeddah. Where they land? They land in Jeddah. Then they do ihram from Jeddah. That is their miqat. So either you do your ihram from the airport in London or wherever you come in. And if you are not doing there, then still you can do your ihram from Jeddah. You come to the airport, have a bath, shower, put on your ihram cloth, and then you pray two rak'ah, and then make intention, oh my Lord, I'm intending to do Umrah, make it easier for me. Women who are in menstruation, in Hayd, they are not pure, they still can make intention. Still you can have bath. The women with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them had actually this condition, they could not pray. But the Prophet asked them to make bath. So you make bath and you don't pray two rak'ah, but you can make intention for Umrah. To make intention for Umrah. So basically, women, even those women who are not in condition to pray, they still need to make intention for Umrah, either from the airport or from plane or from Jeddah, if you're coming by plane. If you're coming from Medina or you're coming from anywhere else, then you have your own miqat. When you put on ihram, then start saying labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. You have to learn labbaik to say dua and learn what does it mean. And keep saying labbaik, especially when you see the people coming to you or when you see the mountains, hills, anything new. So keep saying labbaik more and more often, because that is the most beloved dhikr that you do when you are in ihram. Keep doing labbaik until you come to Makkah al-Mukarramah. When you come to Makkah al-Mukarramah, the first thing they will do with you, take you to the hotel. That's good. You go to the hotel, put on your everything, understand everything, get the key for your room. And then after that, in a group or whatever, people have made arrangement, you come to Al-Masjid al-Haram, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come there, so you see the Kaaba, covered with a black sheet. There is a Kaaba. So when you see the Kaaba, then stop talbiyah. Then don't say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Stop. Now you have seen the Kaaba. Now you can do other dhikr. When you see the Kaaba, there are hadith that whenever people see the Kaaba, whatever they ask, Allah accepts. Not one thing. What means anything, 20 things, whatever you ask, Allah accepts. People say Abu Hanifa rahmullah was very clever. So when he came for the Hajj, and he saw the Kaaba, so he said, okay, let me ask something which includes everything. So he said, oh Allah, whatever I ask you during my stay in Makkah, I accept. Now this dua includes everything. So you can ask something like that. You can ask a specific dua that you want. I really prefer if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taqwa, oh Allah, make me muttaqi, give me taqwa. Because once you get taqwa, you get everything. Allah says, when people get taqwa, I solve every problem, I make way for them, you get paradise, everything you get by taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give taqwa something. But anyway, you can ask whatever you like. When you see, then you come, they will have a certain time for the tawaf. When you come for tawaf, you're going to start tawaf from the black stone, that corner. You can't come nearer because so much crowd, they have made green light. So you know really, that where this is starting. And you have to do tawaf on the right of the Kaaba. You have got clock goes, anti-tawaf. You go tawaf is the right from right, left you go. So when you start the tawaf from the corner where the black stone is, the way actually is people should start with istilam, touching the stone, kissing it, or this, pointing to it. You can't come so near to point with your hand. Just face the Kaaba, face the black stone, and say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And then you go around the Kaaba. When you come to the line, black stone again, it is one round. One tawaf is 7 rounds. You have to make 7 rounds. Men who are, put on the ihram, so when they come to the tawaf, they have to sunnah to uncover your right shoulder. You put the sheet underneath of your arm. So the right shoulder will be uncovered. And in 3 rounds, be a little bit faster, like running. You know, slowly running because there's so much crowd. In 3 rounds, women don't need to do this. And the rest of the round, cover your shoulder and do properly. 7 rounds. You don't need to touch any corner except two corners. One where the black stone is, and one is the corner before that. That's called also your money corner. If you can touch it, you can't touch, just point to that. Only these two corners, they are pointed to, because these are the corners which are built on the foundation of Ibrahim. Other those two corners, they are not built on the foundation of Ibrahim. Hatim is there. So only two corners are touched. 7 rounds. There is no dhikr. There is no dua. Up to you. Say whatever you like, really. Read some Quran. Make some dhikr. The best dhikr after the Quran is Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Make like that. Or any dhikr, you know, la ilaha illallah, or something like that. Make salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in some rounds. Make istighfar. Don't talk to the people too much. If you need, you can talk, because it's not like prayer. But the better thing is, when you are there, don't talk. Urwa ibn Zubair said, I was doing tawaf with Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion. So I said in tawaf, why doing tawaf to him? I want to marry your daughter. So he did not answer. Hafsa, the daughter of Abdullah ibn Umar, so I want to marry her. But he didn't answer. So I came back to Medina. I was thinking maybe he did not accept my proposal. So I was upset. Then when Abdullah Umar came after Hajj, he called me. He said, while in tawaf, you mentioned something. And in tawaf, I see Allah, so I don't talk to the people. So are you still thinking same thing to marry Hafsa? He said, yes. So then Abdullah Umar married his daughter to Urwa ibn Zubair. So see, this is what happened. During tawaf, they don't want to talk because they see Allah. He said, we can see him. And now people go and, take photos and cameras and all the videos of that tawaf. Basically, at the end of the day, all connections are there. Hajj was actually to make you disconnected. But you bring all the connections there. Modern technology has made you to get all the connections there. Your family can see you. Your family is there. Your house is there. Your friends are there. Your social media is there. WhatsApp groups are there. In all groups, you spread that you are here. So tell me, are you really disconnected? Think really. Meaning of the Hajj is to become disconnected. But are you really disconnected? You're not disconnected. Don't do this thing. Don't lose your reward. People do Hajj with you. Some people get so high and some people lose everything. You don't get anything. House of Allah. You have come there to learn how to become connected to Allah. Disconnected from everything. Now all the cameras, photos, all those things, they don't make near to Allah. To learn this thing properly. Don't do this thing. Be away from that. Just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember him. Anyway, to do 7 rounds. After 7 rounds, you have to do 2 rak'ah prayer. That's wajib. So somewhere, get off from the crowd and pray 2 rak'ah nicely and make dua. Then after that, maybe if you get zamzam, if you want to drink, you can drink the water. Then you proceed towards Safa, because then you have to do Safa, because you have intention of the Umrah. Then you go for Safa. When you come to Safa, Hill of Safa, face the Kaaba. And read the Quranic verse, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah. That's how the Prophet started, from Safa. And then make dhikr. From Safa to Marwa will be 1 round. Then from Marwa to Safa, 2nd round. Then from Marwa, Safa to Marwa, 3rd round. So when you run from Safa to Marwa, 1 round. So you walk like that, but there is a small place, it's called Milain Akhdarain. They have marked green. In that one, the men need to be faster. Not women, the men need to faster. Safa and Marwa are beloved hills for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is actually important, very important. More likely, this is the hill where Ibrahim walked to sacrifice his son Ismail. So he sacrificed him in Marwa. That because beyond, and more likely, Hajra was upset. So she was running there. So all family was involved in the sacrifices. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the running between Safa and Marwa. So that is 7 rounds. Once you have done the 7 rounds, then your Umrah is done. Then, shave your head or shorten your hair. Women, they don't need to shave. They just, you know, take scissor and cut a little bit part of your hair. So what you have done, come to your place, do ghusl. Now you are off ihram. Your umrah is done. One thing is done. There were tamattu. Tamattu means now you normal clothes. You know, do whatever like prayer, tawaf, ibadah. You don't need to do so many umrahs, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the same journey, he never did more than one umrah. So I will not recommend. But anyway, sometimes people want to do more umrah, more tawaf. So do whatever actually is good for you, whatever easier you can do. Don't force yourself, because you have to get ready for the hajj. If you do too much things, then you can't do hajj properly. So these tawafs are not important. Do less tawaf. Pray where you are. You don't need to come haram. You know, my thinking really is that in that land, Makkah, wherever you pray, you get same reward. Because all Makkah is haram anyway. It's all haram. But if people want to join the house of Allah, they can do. But don't do too many things. The Prophet did not do so many tawafs. Actually, people said the Prophet never did any extra tawaf. The only tawaf he did, which is part of the Hajj and Umrah, he never did any extra tawaf. So that you do. Then after that, on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, you know, you will go to Mina. Or maybe they take you on the 7th, you know, because it's so many people to so take water. So whenever they take you for the, you know, Mina, then after the, before that, you need to put on ihram of the Hajj. Ihram of the Hajj, you put on from the hotel, from the place where you're staying. For the ihram of the Hajj, you don't need to go anywhere. From your room, from your own room, put on the ihram for the Hajj. And sunnah is to start with tawaf, to go and do tawaf if you want really. And then after that, you go to Mina. Maybe they stay in Mina all the 8th. Then in the morning of 9th Dhul Hijjah, that is day of Arafah, after Fajr, the people will move to Arafat. All the people. Most likely they will arrange buses for you, is transport for you. But I will advise really among the people who are strong, men or women, don't wait for any buses or any coaches. It will take a lot of time really. Just find out which direction Arafat is and just walk. Within less than 1 hour, you'll be in Arafat. I have walked. People with me have walked, and they find it so nice walking in open air. You can see the people. It is sunny, so you sometimes suffer from the sun and heat. But don't worry. If you want, you can do this. Come to Arafat. Arafat really is the starting point for the Hajj. Arafat is not in the Haram. Arafat is outside the Haram. Allah wants to train you. Now, if you want to come to Haram, repent. In Arafat, you need to repent, clean yourself, you know, be pure from all the sins. Don't just go around, see things. Now in Arafat, I'm talking, when, you know, I did Hajj in 5-6 years back. That time when we went for the Hajj, even that time they made in Arafat all green, red carpets, sofas, you know, and basically like a picnic place, Arafat. So you can enjoy all that. Then no sabr. So basically then you are attracted. You know, it was best really not to make so attractive. But anyway, still you can mentally be disconnected. Don't worry about those things. Choose a secluded place. Be alone there. Do ibadah. Do zikr. In the evening when it is a little cool down, go to the hill of the Arafat. Hilly areas you can do there. And if you have time, if you have energy, then during the, in the Zuhr time, the Imam of the Hajj, he will pray in the mosque of Arafat, Zuhr and Asr together. Big mosque, you can go there and pray behind the Imam, and he will combine between Zuhr and Asr both in the time of the Zuhr. So that is Sunnah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you must do this. If you can't do there, can't go there, then your tent combine between Zuhr and Asr. That's a better opinion. Some people say when you don't pray behind the Imam, then your own Imam, you can make Zuhr on the Zuhr time and Asr on the Asr. Both opinions are there. You do there. Remain all the day in the dhikr. Maybe somebody, if you can make a sermon, a speech, reminding people, that is best for that. Then do dhikr until sunset. Now you are pure clean. Now Allah allows you to move to Haram. So the first place of the Haram after Arafat is Muzdalifah. You arrive there in the night, late in night. When you come there, the first thing you do, combine between Maghrib and Isha. Because you did not pray Maghrib. You are not allowed to pray Maghrib in the way. You have to pray Maghrib. When you come to Muzdalifah, take off your stuff. Now do wudu. Or maybe you have done wudu in Arafat. You are still do that. Maghrib and Isha, you pray there. Do dhikr. You can sleep as well. Then get up in the morning. Do Fajr prayer. And then after that, whatever time is convenient after Muzdalifah, then you go to Mina. And when you go to Mina, that will be the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. 10th of Dhul Hijjah. First day in the Mina, you do Rami. Only one pillar, the big one. The first, when you come from Mina, that is the first pillar. You do the Rami of that. That one pillar, it is very, very crowded after Fajr. And that is the best time. So many people go there. I'll advise you, if you listen to my advice, whenever I go for Hajj, that's what I do for the people. Come for a Muzdalifah, sleep in your tent. Don't worry about Rami, stoning. Sleep in your tent. Until most people have finished, then have shower, maybe if you want. And in a haram, you can have shower. And then after that, after Zohar, you go to Rami. It will be empty. You do Rami nicely. Then after Rami, you should do sacrifice of the animal because you have done tamattu. If people do only Hajj, they don't need a sacrifice. Sacrifice are for the people who do Umrah and Hajj together in the combined tamattu. Sacrifice, most likely you must have given your money to someone. So they would have told you timing. If they told, that's fine. If they don't tell, then people give fatwa that after you have done Rami, come there and then after that, you shave your head. And change your clothes, put on your sewn clothes. And then after that, any time you need to come to Makkah al-Mukarramah and to do your tawaf, tawaful ifada, that is the further tawaf, most crowded one. For that one, I will advise you, go in the night, when less, actually never less busy anyway, to ask the people, they'll tell you they do. Then after that, you do Rami, you remain in the Mina, second day, third day, do Rami. Fourth day, if you stay there until sunset, then you have to do Rami again and spend night. Otherwise, 3 nights, you stay there. Tawaf and you also do Sa'i. So then your Hajj is complete. Before coming to your house, leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, you need to do one more Sunnah. And that is Tawaful Wada'ah, final Tawaf. Because come to Makkah, Tawaful Qudum. Leave Makkah, Tawaful Wada'ah. So Salam of Makkah is Tawaf. And leaving Makkah is also salam, tawaf. Both times is tawaf. Then after that, if people want to go to Madinah Munawwara, they can go. Or they can go before that. Going Madinah is not part of the Hajj. But it is good that you're coming there, see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Safa city, and connect yourself with him as well. So most people, they go for Madinah. If people have got a more busy schedule, something, and they can't go to Madinah, don't feel anything. Nothing happens. Your Hajj is complete without going to Madinah. But if you go, you're extra reward, much more. So people can come for Madinah and they do things there properly. Say salam to the Prophet at once. You don't need to do all the time, salam. And then you can visit Quba and other places, Uhud, to connect yourself. For the women, there's a problem really. The women, they have got an menstruation, hayd. And during the hayd time, you cannot do tawaf. You can do everything. You can do sa'i, you can do all, go to Arafat, you can go to Muzdalifah. You can go everywhere. If women have got menstruation in final tawaf, that is more difficult thing. If they think before leaving Makkah, their period can finish, then they wait, and then they have bath, then after that they do tawaf, and then do sa'i. You can't do sa'i before tawaf. So if your menstruation starts after tawaf, then there's no harm. The sa'i can be done without purification. That is the problem for the women, really. Some women, they take some pills, to which stop their menstruation. If that can succeed, that will be helpful, at least for once. But if somehow you become in difficulty, and your menstruation is in the time of the tawaf, and your group is leaving, after that, or your flight is booked, and there's no way you can delay your flight, then you have to do your Hajj. So there's the one way in Hanafi Madhab that women can do tawaf with in that condition, but they have to sacrifice one big animal, a camel, huge money. So you have to get money to sacrifice for the camel, then it will be done because you can't do tawaf with the impurity. But that solution, the last one, is not very good, really, not recommended. Well, if you have all difficulty and problem, That is the way. Otherwise, make your tickets flexible. Many women know their dates and time, so they can make their ticket return in a flexible account to that time. So that's what they should do. I don't know really if I have left anything important. But thing is, they do things in sequence. Ask people. People do mistake a lot, so always be with the people. I remember once I went for a Hajj, I met an Indian, and he said, I did tawaf, and then I shaved my head. I said, you didn't do sai? He said, no. I said, why? He said, I did tawaf, then I saw people shaving their head. I also shaved my head. So don't do what people do, because people are doing for their purpose. They must have done sai. You do your thing. So when you come, Umrah means tawaf and sai both. Don't shave the head before sai. After sai you do. Same thing in the Hajj. You know, after you come to Mina, you have done the rami and sacrifice, then shave your head. But if you don't know sacrifice, then you can do without sacrifice, because that's what people give fatwa. But listen, you know, stone the first day in Mina. First day is more important. So is there any, and also understand really, you know, all these things. So when you do in the Mina, rami, stoning, you're not hitting shaitan really. It Allah has made it, because you know, this story happened when the Prophet was born. This king in Yemen, Abraha, he wanted to destroy the Kaaba. So when he came there, that is the place where Allah destroyed him actually. You know, Arab people stoned him until all the army was killed. So stoning is in memory of that. So you stone there, and then you like taking covenant, oh my Lord, I will defend your house. So stoning in the Mina is actually like taking covenant. You know, saying to Allah, oh my Lord, I will defend your religion, I will defend the Kaaba. It is promise of defending the Kaaba. That's what stoning is. Nothing to do with shaitan, all those things. So when you start, you know, hitting shaitan, you basically follow shaitan.